You can't have a shadow unless there's light behind you. When I read that, I was like, wow. Like, wow. No matter what, even if it's a small darkness, like, you could, it just could be a bad day with your kids or a bad day with your husband, or it's something huge. You got huge news that was just horrific. Someone has cancer. Whatever that darkness is, you're not going to be stuck there.
Yes.
And that's that hope that you are walking through it and that light is behind you. And
you're going to come out the other side.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This week, we continue a series called Captive that focuses on 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5. And each week, we'll unpack a small segment of that scripture. Today, we continue looking at the first piece, the weapons of our warfare. This week, we're having some really challenging conversations about the warfare. And we want you to know we're praying for you right now. If you're struggling with any mental or emotional warfare, we really hope this Bible study will help you with that.
When we're using the word of God, we have to remember that, not that we have to choose our words wisely, we have to ask God and the Holy Spirit to tame our tongue. My tongue, me personally, I use it as a weapon. I could tear you down in a heartbeat, and I hate that about myself. And I'm better now, but when I was at my time when I did not walk with the Lord, I used it like a machete. Like, it's a horrible thing what words could do to people. And I just have to, you have to all remember that, yes, we have the ability to use the sword of the Spirit as the word of God, but we also have to ask God to tame our tongue.
Just, it has, like, to be God's word in our mouth.
Yeah. And I think
that's
important.
It's always like a thought comes into your head and you go, oh, should I say that or not?
That's right.
Sometimes you run
like
with
you
it.
Like you said earlier, everything starts with
you
a thought.
Don't.
Yeah. I pray every morning, let the Holy Spirit be my filter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good one.
It is. I have no filter. I don't. And I ask every morning, because I know sometimes at my weak points that I have throughout the day, because I am a broken person, that I ask God, I'm like, this is where I struggle. This is where I've always struggled. Control my tongue.
Allie, I think the unique perspective that you bring to the conversation about managing our thoughts and depression, and we've shared our personal experiences, but you are able to share the experience of living with someone who's struggling with these things. And you've taken the approach to just saturate your life and your home in God's word.
I have to.
That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to solve it. Can you just take like 2 minutes to talk about the difference between going through a depression without Jesus Christ and going through a depression with Jesus Christ? Can you speak a little bit to
that?
Okay.
Well, in the beginning, like, we've always constantly battled with depression. Bo's depression started when he was very, very young. I just have to give an overview. Like, his mother was dying from cancer since he was 13 years old. So he's been having like this constant battle with him. When he first went to the dark place in the beginning, and we were both in it, without having God in our lives, we were such bitter, ugly people. We didn't care about one another's feelings. We would just use our tongue in such an, I don't even know why he's still with me, but like, I will purposely trigger him, and like, I'm like, just get over it, you're fine. And I was just so mean and so angry. But in this time in this walk that we're all, my whole family's doing, it's more, everything that we do is coming out of love. I feel like it's coming from a more loving place than it's such a hateful, resentment place. And I know the difference is Jesus. I know is the fact that, like, we are in scripture, we read scripture, and it really takes out the void of the negative, like you said, and it's been filling us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is all about love. God, and I think with the weeds that you were talking about with the garden, it's like, you know, I read The Shack one year, which, like, the whole garden thing, it was like, you know, the weeds, that they overtake us. In the beginning, it was overtaking us, and like how we were just so ugly. And this walk that we're all doing together as a family, and I see him smiling more, and it's such a beautiful thing to see him start to come out of it. You know what I mean? I'm like, yay, Jesus. Like, I just want to, like, I just praise him because he's doing it, you know? And it's like the little things of like you smile more and like, you know, you're with their family more. And it's like everything that we're doing is out of love. It has nothing to do with me. I just ask God every day, use me as your tool because I am your servant. I am your humbling servant. And just do whatever you want with me. And I just think it's important that people like surround themselves with Jesus, even at the darkest places, because everything comes out of love. He's such a good, good God that we have. He's a good, good God.
The most amazing part of your story is that he did use you to help him.
Mm-hmm. And I asked for
it. And you can, I mean, what does he say? Like, you, nobody will trust anybody that they know what they're going through unless they went through it themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
So what an amazing way he's using you to help him through this, because you
went
through it. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the miracle. Yeah, like, God had this all figured out. He knew you had to go through that so you could help him.
But he also made me go through that to be closer to him.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Like, well, and
so it's a double, like,
it's a beautiful thing.
I want to ask you about hope, because I don't struggle with depression, thank God. It's not, I mean, I had a little postpartum, but compared to what you guys dealt with, it seems laughable. But I know that in my life, I didn't have hope. Mm-hmm. Hope was just a word. I'm a positive person, but hope is something deeper than positivity.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes to living with someone who's struggling with their mental health, I just wonder if you would talk about the difference between the darkness and the light, the hope and the lack of hope being alongside him. You know, this is his struggle and you're spiritually, you know, as his wife, holding him up and supporting him. But at the end of the day, it's him and God. They have to get there together. And I just want to hear a little bit about if you have anything to say about your side of the equation. As a selfless person, you're talking about how you love him and how you support him. But how does Jesus help you get through the day living with that?
Because I know he loves me. He wouldn't leave me. Like, I know that if I give it all to him, he'll take care of it. Like, I know he's my father. I know he'll take care of his children. And I truly believe that. Like, he's not going to abandon me. Like, you know, like, it's just a season, you know, like, it's just something that we're just going through. And I know he's using it for his own good, you know, and I truly believe that. I have complete 100%.
It's that ability to see beyond it.
Trust in him.
That ability to see beyond.
You know, he wouldn't harm me. And like, if I'm in, even if like I was listening to Francis Chan's, the sermon that he was in, and there was this woman that was in complete, like, she was with the Taliban and she was like in prison and she was in the trenches and she was the most closest to God at that time. And I feel like I do feel him. I really, truly do. I feel him like when like my hardest days and like I feel it, like I feel like you're taken care of, you're fine.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I truly
and
feel
so
that.
It's so huge what you say. You have to let go and trust in him and know that he's in control.
And sometimes you have to be at your wit's end at the bottom of the pit. To realize you got to let go. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't do it.
So, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, God has gifted you, Allie. I say this every
absolutely.
Week, but I have to say it again. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and your childlike faith, the way that you're just like, well, because I know
amazing.
He's with you. You say it so matter of fact.
It takes us years.
Yeah,
some of us
it takes
to get
a lot
that.
Of people.
And I don't understand that.
A lot longer. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Grip it. Actively grip it, because that's a gift he gave you. All right, let's read. Thank you for your vulnerability, Allie, and all of you. Who has 1 Samuel 17, verse 45? I assigned it to one of you. I'm
I
sorry,
have that
I don't remember
one.
Which one. Okay, would you read that? And we're going to talk about, in the context of these three passages, the passage and then the battle for our lives, the warfare. How does each of these passages speak into the warfare that we're discussing today?
Okay, 1 Samuel 17, 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied."
So tell me a little bit about what you think that has to do with the battle.
again, I think it goes down to knowing that it's God's battle, that he's fighting it for us.
Doesn't David say that right in that passage somewhere, this battle is the Lord's? So, of course, this is the battle between, in case people don't know, this is the battle, David and Goliath, famous battle.
But if you backtrack to, I have a note in my Bible, because he goes against him with this assurance that in verse 37, he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So he goes back, and I think it's important for us to do, to look back at what God's done for us in the past. And I know you keep a wonderful prayer journal where you constantly go back and see how God answers prayer. And for me, that's a huge thing, to constantly go back and say, he got me through this, he delivered me through this, and he will do it again.
Okay, so who has Hebrews 4:12?
I do. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
What do you think that has to do with the warfare, the spiritual warfare that happens in our life?
Well, I think that the intentions of the heart hits me pretty hard, because, and as I've been walking closer to God, that becomes more real to me all the time. Because it's one thing to say you're going to do something differently, and you make an effort to do it. But if your heart's not in wanting to change or wanting to do something differently, it will change temporarily, but it won't change permanently. And what I'm finding, the closer I get to God, the more guilt and shame I feel when my heart isn't in the right place for wanting to change something that I know he is looking down upon me for.
By the way, that's a common experience. The closer you get to God, the more aware you are of your own sin. And this one is Isaiah. He said, when he was in the presence of the Lord, woe is me, I'm an unclean man, and I live among people of unclean mouth. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. The closer you get to God, the more aware you are.
Picture analogy, the more light you see in a room, the more dirt you see.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed
that? Oh,
yeah,
that's,
you see the dirt flying everywhere.
So
the more you're in his light, the more
it exposes. And that's okay. He doesn't mean that to be a negative experience.
Right.
It's conviction.
God doesn't put the light in our life to make us feel bad.
Right. And then, well, that's the enemy, right?
Conviction versus condemnation.
That's right.
When I feel guilty and shameful, sometimes I feel so bad about myself, I get myself into the spiral.
That's condemnation.
Yeah.
That's not from God.
And I know that's the enemy,
yes.
Right? Because the enemy forgives us, wipes us. I mean, the enemy,
God,
please forgive me. Wipes us clean of our sin, makes us white as snow, and
he convicts us so we can repent.
As if that sin never happened.
Right.
And that's how God sees it. And it all goes together.
Yeah. There was a beautiful analogy on the sermon that was on Sunday, that if we're a clean cloth and we're dipped in oil, and then we find the Lord and God automatically cleans us, but the rag is still filled with oil. It's a process of like wringing out, cleaning, wringing out, cleaning, wringing out, cleaning.
That's good.
And that analogy has stuck with me, because I'm know I have a lot of cleaning to be done.
Oh, we all do.
So the more, I took that into like a personal note.
Yeah.
But like the more you see it, and where that rag is still dirty.
Yeah.
But in God's eyes, we're clean. But with the whole, he's using the Holy Spirit within us to keep cleaning and cleaning
sanctifying.
And cleaning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny
I think
to me that you took a totally different piece of that scripture, because the one that jumped out at me was God's word is living and active.
The offensive weapon. That's what I saw.
Yeah, because that's sort of, I don't know, just where I was leaning today.
I know, but I love that she had a totally different take on it.
Yeah.
We had this experience at Bible study.
Yeah.
This is why, this is proof that his word is living and active.
Right.
Because
exactly.
It strikes you in the spirit that lives in you in a different way than it strikes me, based on what's most important for me to learn and understand at this moment in time.
Right? Yeah. Well, that just sort of grabbed me, the intentions of the heart.
Let me read Psalm 124, verses 1 through 5, and let's talk about how they speak to the battle. Psalm 124, verses 1 through 5 says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. I think the tie-in with that scripture is, like in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? But I can't just leave it there. I have to make sure that I'm participating when God is for me. God is always for me. He loves me and he sent his son to die for me, but I can certainly live in seasons of defeat if I don't actively participate in his ways and his will and his love for me and manage my thoughts, manage my behavior, manage my tongue in a way that is prescribed in this book that I should do. But it certainly is a comfort to me all through, especially in the Psalms.
Oh, yeah.
To remind us that when we walk in his ways, he's faithful to us. Galatians 5 talks about his faithfulness to us too. So, you know, when God promises to be by our side, the battle is already won. Like you said, Romy, the battle is already won. We know how this turns out. Not getting sucked into the spiral you were talking about day to day. The enemy can't have my soul.
No.
It belongs to God. But I can be defeated. I can be discouraged. I can be disgruntled. It's my choice whether I do that or not. I think I said this last time, but I'm going to say again, I'm not a big bumper sticker person. But there was a bumper sticker I saw a couple months ago. It sticks with me. And it's not even a Bible bumper sticker. It wasn't a verse, but it was. It so sums up what we're trying to talk about today, which it just said, you don't have to believe everything you think. I don't think I'll ever put a bumper sticker on my car, but if I would, that might be the one.
That's great.
You don't have to believe everything you think.
There's a scripture. It's a big scripture for me personally. I have a personal story behind it, but I just have to share because God keeps putting it on my heart. And it's a psalm we've all heard. You've probably heard it at tons of funerals. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And my Bible also says it could also be called the darkest valley. It doesn't necessarily mean you're walking through a dying person or your own death. Each valley that we go through that's dark. And I had read a while ago, and I'd quote the writer to you to give him the credit, but it was huge for me when this was that when you have a shadow, you can't have a shadow unless there's light behind you. And when I read that, I was like, wow. Like, wow. No matter what, even if it's a small darkness, like you could, it just could be a bad day with your kids or a bad day with your husband, or it's something huge. You got huge news that was just horrific. Someone has cancer. Whatever that darkness is, even if it's small, it's still something that you're, and the other part was it that you're walking through it. You're not going to be stuck there.
Yes.
And that's that hope that you are walking through it and that light is behind you. And
you're going to come out the other side.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this psalm gets because
Which sometimes. Which one is that psalm?
It's Psalm 23 and it's verse 4. But some psalms almost can, some things can almost lose their impact when you hear them over and over and over.
Yeah.
Some things you hear them over and over and over. And but sometimes I think they lose their impact, especially if they're always in a certain setting, like Psalm 23 is almost always in the setting of a funeral. And this is a day-to-day valley that you could be going through. And just as a huge reminder that he is behind you the whole time, he's with you the whole time, and you're walking through it. You're not stuck in it. And
that's really good.
That is.
Sorry. I think God just really wanted that shared.
I actually have heard you talk about Psalm 23. That's one of your core scriptures.
It was
it?
Through
I
my
heard
mother's
you talking about
when
that before?
My mother died.
Yeah. And you do you bring a great new perspective on it to me because you're right, it does become white noise. Like I think most of us could say, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
But I wish I could quote the and I believe it was actually a Jewish rabbi's writing. I can't think of the book right now, but it was a book about the Psalm 23rd Psalm, and it
That's
was
great.
Huge.
That is great.
Okay, so let's pray. Actually, let me talk to you about Micah 7:8. That's our memory verse. And frankly, it really runs parallel to this whole core scripture that we're using, the 2 Corinthians 10 scripture. And Micah 7:8 says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." And the reason that I love that is because I don't always do a good job. I don't always manage my thoughts. I don't always live in victory. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do get defeated. That's part of the human condition. Mm-hmm. That won't stop until we live in heaven.
Right.
So I can't put a perfect goal out there for myself because I know I will fall and I'll stumble and I'll fall. And there will be times where I am flat.
Yeah.
But I can always say, do not gloat over me, my enemy. I have fallen, but I will rise. I am sitting in darkness, but the Lord will be my light. You don't get to win ever. You may have won this moment, but you don't win this life. And I'm always so empowered by Micah 7:8. It comes up more than you might think. Sometimes I say about my children, do not gloat over her, my enemy. Though she has fallen, she will rise. Though she sits in darkness, the Lord will be her light. It's very powerful. Let's pray. You're amazing. You work in our lives. You weave us together in fellowship and families to your perfect design. It is mind-boggling, the tapestry that you weave for your kingdom purposes. And I am in awe of you. And I thank you that you love us each so much that we are honored to be an important thread in this tapestry. Help us to see, God, the picture that you are creating with each of us as a fiber. Help us to know that even when we can't see the big picture, you have it in mind and you'll see it through to completion in our lives, in the lives of the people that we touch, in the lives of the people that we love. We lift it all up to you for your son's glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Holly. We're all struggling with real life here, taking our thoughts captive. Each week, we're diving in deeper with mental health professionals because we want you to know that we understand the tension between taking thoughts captive and just not being able to do that without some help. Thank you to Danielle and Leanne for being here. Let's continue that conversation.
If you had to go from your experience and all the things that you've heard in helping people through crises and long-term mental health issues, be their voice and let's give them a voice and then let's help them know what there is on the other side. You know, like I said, I can imagine someone saying, so what you're saying is if I had enough faith, I wouldn't feel this way. And I think we've done a good job of saying that's not the case, that God is in you.
Yep.
And he loves you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you still need a little extra help.
Yep.
What else have you heard?
It's really helpful to, when you do talk to someone, especially a professional who has seen multiple people who have struggled, that they you can say, I know it feels this way right now, but it's going to get better. And these are the things we're going to do to get better. That you're not the only person in the world who thinks like this, or you're not the only person in the world who's ever felt like this.
Is that helpful?
I think so.
Yeah.
Do you see that being helpful to
people? Yeah. Yes.
Do they really think they're the only person?
Yes.
Yeah, because when you're in that depressed state, you just feel you're isolated, you're by yourself, you're alone. And so, again, that goes to show you what the mind is you know, trying to get you to think. It's not real, but their perception of it and what it feels like for them.
They feel like they're the only ones who have ever felt this badly.
That must feel so lonely.
Yeah.
And heartbreaking.
And you just help them by saying, this is not uncommon. Other people have been there and have gotten out.
Yep. God loves you.
Right.
Even in this. You may not be able to feel God, but he's with you even in this.
And I think sometimes even a little education about, you know, oftentimes I think the world is telling us what you feel is what you go with.
Yes.
And how important your feelings are.
Yes.
And I think some education around feelings come and go, and how they affect your thinking, and how your brain can control some parts of, you know, what you're feeling. If you can bring God into that and surrendering, and I just think some education around what they're thinking and not disputing, but offering another way to think about it. That I don't know if I'm articulating that very well. But.
You're right. The world says how you feel. If it feels good, do it.
If it feels good, it must be right.
Yes.
But God says, trust in the Lord, lean on your own understanding.
And
all
that is also the difference between Christian counseling and secular counseling. You go to a secular counselor, you know, it is, how are you feeling?
If you're struggling with mental health issues, we have additional resources on our website, studywithfriends.org. Click on the Captive Series under the Bible Study tab. For more immediate help, specifically in the area of self-harm, please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire Captive series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Because the battle for our thoughts is an ongoing one, this is a good CD series to have, and we want you to have access to it. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you next time on Study with Friends.